speed is it's irrelevant. I mean, if you're doing the best you can do, then you have crushed that race. I mean, you have to think about your perspective of the race. Are you going to Ötula to win it overall, or are you going to Ötula to win it for yourself?
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 119 of the show. On the podcast this week, we have swim runner, endurance coach at Taught Endurance, Ötula broadcaster, and our friend Vila Engberg on the show. We met him in the DMs during last year's coverage of Ötula, the Swimmer World Championship, and have kept in touch since then. He's a super cool dude, and if you're super stoked, or even just kind of run-of-the-mill stoked on swim run, you're going to love this interview.
So if you're listening to this show, odds are you're going to love this interview.
Yeah, you're at least stoked if you're listening to this show.
There's a mild level of stoke, at least. But first, training updates. So swim run Lake James is getting so close. It's almost time to put on the old taper.
Yeah.
Get the taper going. Last weekend, we did a little race course simulation down in Aquatic Park. Hashtag seal bait. There was signs with multiple mammal bites, is what it said.
Yeah.
I guess the seals are nippy this time of year in Aquatic Park, but we went in without incident.
Yep.
There was one incident, though, that Chris was behind me in the swim, and his paddle just touched my foot, and just all I was thinking, I was like, don't get bit by a seal, don't get bit. And then I felt that, and my head popped up, and I was like, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah, and then Chris, with your reaction, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, dude.
I'm like, Chris looked up, and he was just grinning. It was funny. It was funny.
It was pretty funny.
It was good. So we're feeling pretty good. We did a little bit of a longer sustained run there to kind of simulate some of the course there in Swimming Lake James. We had a good time. We're feeling good about our prep. Famous last words?
Maybe.
You'll soon to find out.
Also, as a little bonus training update, I did go running on Burdell. We were just talking about this before we went on air, and I have a fear of cows. I'm just going to put that out there, or put it out on the Odyssey feed. And I had a pony up and
nice.
Run by a couple of them without having you there as a human shield. So I'm proud of myself.
Chris usually strategically positions me in between
always
whatever bovine and himself, which I'm fine with. I'm okay. I mean, I'm not, I don't know what to do when a cow starts running after you, except yell at it or something.
Run.
Anywho.
That's what I do.
Anywho, I'm like, I'm vegetarian. We're on the same team here, cow. We're on the same team. On to this week's shout outs.
All right. So this week we're shouting out Abby Rose. Chipper met her on Catalina.
I sure did.
The inaugural, hopefully only, because there'll be races there.
Yeah.
Catalina Swimmer and Adventure. And we just want to say hi.
Hi,
also,
Abby.
She did Alcatraz Crossing Swimmer of the Weekend without a wetsuit, which is, twice as much fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, Abby's down at Aquatic Park very often, more often than we're down there. That's for sure.
Yes. So shout out, Abby.
Way to go. And she's got a couple swim runs on the books this year, sweet. Or at least one. And it was besides the Catalina Swim Run Adventure.
Right.
So she's caught the bug.
Nice.
Now on to this week's feats of endurance. So this week's winner is Sarah Estrella. She ran the Zion 100K in Utah over the weekend. Ooh, baby.
No joke.
That is no joke of a race. She crushed it. Strong work, Sarah. Way to go.
Do you remember when I had signed up for the Zion 100 miler?
Do you remember when I told you that wasn't a good idea?
And you remember when you told me that you'd pace for me though?
Yeah. This is why I'm like, Chris, this is a race. I don't think this is a great idea. And then like a week later, I'm like, do you need someone to pace you for that thing? Because I'm looking to get into a heap of trouble myself. Now, anyway, make sure you head on over to Strava, search Low Tide Boys, and join our Low Tide Boys Strava Club. You could see everybody's activities, dole out some kudos, receive some kudos, and just be a part of the fun.
Yeah,
tons of fun over there. Over 400 folks strong in the Low Tide Boys Strava Club. Now, I'm going to send it over to Chris. He's up behind the Low Tide Boys news desk for this week in Swim Run.
All right. Welcome to the LTBZ news desk, also known as just regular desk where I'm usually sit.
You should spin your chair a complete circle. Like, here I am.
Oh, I put on like a sport kilt. With, oh, like, yeah. Like a Ron like Burgundy coat like, kind of thing.
Weekend update on exactly. SNL. I like it.
Exactly. Any hoodle. The Bellingham Swim Run put on by by friend of the pod and race director Brent Molesbury is scheduled for June 5th in beautiful Bellingham, Washington. We definitely encourage everyone who's down for a chill local swim run event to check out Brent's race in a few months. We're all about supporting local events, and we don't have that many in the U.S., so let's make sure that people are...
There's a couple different distances, too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So,
very entry level. Should be fun.
Very fun.
Over in Sweden, the Blackwater Swim Run in Azarum has announced that this year's race date is going to be Sunday, September 4th. They offer race distances of 10K and 20K, and it looks like a fun one. I don't know about the date, though.
Do you think we could maybe like a little tune-up race?
I mean, I don't know, but it's pretty close to another swim run that's happening around that time that you may have heard of. Over in Spain, this year's Swim Run Costa Azahar will take place on Sunday, June 5th, and registration is open now. They just announced that on Instagram, nice. So go over there if you want to swim in sort of the Costa Brava area of Spain. In the feel-good story department, our friend of the pod as well, Hugo Tormento, also a top swim runner mm-hmm. out there, and his training crew in France are training for the 47.4-kilometer swim run man Gorge de Verdoux to raise money for pancreatic cancer research. Anyone interested in supporting them can donate to their Swim Run for ARC initiative, and we have the link to donate in the show notes. That's it for this week. Feel free to reach out and let us know if there's anything you'd like for us to mention on the show.
Yes, now for a meaty update section here. So we are working, a couple people have reached out to us already on the IG, on the Instagram.
It's like expected.
It's now a thing.
Yeah.
So we're working on logistics for a swim run on Friday, April 22nd at Lake James after, potentially before packet pickup. So be sure you're following along to our Instagram account at the Low Tide Boys with the Z. For more details on that, we'll make sure to post it there. And on Facebook as well, we'll make like a little event thing once we get more details finalized on that. Very short, kind of a chill thing. It's a great place if you're concerned about how your gear is going to work. What should you do for this? Is the water going to be cold? What are the trails like? These are questions you can always usually get, if not the ideal answer, some sort of an answer.
Yeah.
Before race day. So we aim to please there. So we hope to see you there. Stay tuned on our IG for that.
Yeah.
Now, whilst you have your calendars out, flip ahead a few months to May. May 4th at 10 a.m. California time, or PST. It's time for the TSR Swim Run Annual Awards. Now, the Low Tide Boys, one or both of the Low Tide Boys, will be on the panel with a bunch of other really cool people and swim runners. And we're going to be talking about one of our favorite topics.
Yeah.
Swim run.
Yeah.
You guessed it. So we know check out the link in the show notes there for all the details. They have a lot of really cool other people on the panel besides us.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised at that. I'm like, whoa.
Totally. Cool, totally. Thank you. I mean, we could tell. I mean, this is public. So Desiree Anderson, best swim runner probably ever at this point. She's going to be on.
Marika
Wagner, badass.
Mm-hmm.
Lars Fenanger going to be on, who is someone who actually knows about U.S. swim running.
Yeah.
And then myself and maybe Chipper if he can play hooky.
Depends. I'll have to put the old work block.
Yeah.
Work block on the calendar to make it to that one. So we'll see. Finally, we has the discounts, people. So you've heard all the last few shows about how the awesome folks at Precision Fuel and Hydration are supporting us on our journey to Utila, the Swim Run World Championship this year. They've also set up a really great discount code for you all, LOWTIDE22, and that's good for 15% off your first order. LOWTIDE22, 15% off. I've been really enjoying the gels.
Mm-hmm.
Chris got some of the chews that they have. Yeah. So they have, if you've kind of had, you know, the shot blocks from Cliff Bar and a couple other things.
Goo Chews.
It's similar, but it's much different. It's definitely worth a try.
It's unique consistency, delicious. Yeah.
Very good. Good flavors on those.
Mm-hmm.
And then our friends at Odyssey Swim Run has the code LOWTIDEBOYS with the Z, and that'll get you 15% off your registration for any and all swim runs in 2022. So we know we'll see you there at Casco Bay.
For sure.
For sure. There. Now on to our interview with Villa from TOT Endurance.
It was great to finally get Villa on the show. He's a really soulful guy that loves swim run and loves sharing it with the world. In his coaching practice, he works with a bunch of swim runners and had a lot of insights to share about training for swimming in general. And our current topic that we're obsessed with, Attila, the Swim World Championship in particular. We chatted with him about his own swim run journey, his coaching philosophy, and he gave us his tips for a successful race in the Archipelago. Phil is an awesome dude, and we really love this conversation, and we think you will too. We know we say that all the time, but
we do.
That's a good one.
And I mean, we try to bring a guest that we think everyone's going to enjoy. So yeah. That's why we say it every time.
I guess, yeah. What it is.
We had a great chat with him. I mean, we could have gone, he's one of those people that we just could have.
In
we could
fact,
have went for hours.
Totally. And some of the stuff when we weren't recording, I mean, he's coming back just to talk about some of that stuff.
Yes. And it's great to have another coach.
Yep.
Another swim run specific coach kind of in the reservoir that we can go and talk to pick their brain and get feedback on races and things like that. So we're really excited to bring you this interview here and hear why maybe you need to buy yourself a rowing machine.
Oh, damn.
Just saying.
Forget. All right, joining us today, we have Villa Engberg. He is part of TOT Endurance. And before we let him talk, I want to tell a little story of how we first met. So we were watching separately, Chipper and I were watching the 2021 broadcast of Attila, the Swimming World Championship. And Villa looked like he was in some closet with another guy. Just kind of doing a play-by-play, letting people know what was going on. It seemed like an incredible, difficult position, but there was a chat. So we were like chatting him up and
we were blowing
encouraging
the chat up,
him.
I remember this.
And he kept shouting us out. And we were like, oh, this guy's super cool. So then we ended up DMing a little bit. And now fast forward, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you here. Welcome, Villa.
Thank you, guys. I'm super happy to be on the show and talking about swim run with you guys. Yeah, we were in the other sweaty guys... dining hall. Our families weren't super happy that we built up a studio at home, but it seemed like the most logic thing to do for us to be sitting in Stockholm City and doing the like behind the scenes thing and talking and having people out on the course recording and talking. So
it was such an amazing production, and I can't imagine how tough it is. I mean, we talk for maybe an hour, but to keep it going for 12, 13 hours, and you can only use the same stories over and over. I'm sure our listeners are like, yeah, we've heard the same stories from Chipper and Chris for a while. But major kudos to you for taking that one on, and I feel like you all nailed it. So good job.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, I'm super happy to hear everybody was happy with the experience, and hopefully we're doing it again in September. The thing is, I have a manuscript of 24 pages of like little tidbits on everything that can happen and has happened along the course that I didn't read a word of. I mean, I still got like 12 hours of material to talk about Attila, the world championships.
That's great.
But I mean, I saw that you guys are doing it in September, so.
We are.
If you
need any inside facts, we can probably give them to you whenever, but yeah, we'll be there on Monday morning, ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's your first time.
Yeah, it will be our first time.
It'll be our first time.
Wow, super
cool.
Yeah,
we're very excited. I mean, you know, we after talking about swim run and sort of falling in love with the sport and learning about the history and all that stuff, to finally get to do the original, the OG race. It's gonna be great. But Villa, you've raced it twice, is that right?
Yeah, that's great. Twice at the World
Champs. Tell us sort of how that happened and what was your sort of build to get to a race like that?
Well, how it happened, I had done triathlons and ultra marathons for a couple of years. I come from a background in martial arts and swimming, so I had the swimming thing going for me already, so I didn't have to put in a lot of effort to get back into that. And I had trained for Ironmans and ultramarathon for a while. And I mean, triathlon is great. And I still consider myself a triathlete, but it's always a set course, you know. You know what you're going to do. And it's always like this swept asphalt and exactly a marathon to run. I mean, it's cool and it's really tangible and quantifiable to do it. But I really wanted the adventure. So I went down to a training session. And at that time in Stockholm, there weren't that many. I think this was 2015 or 2016. So I went to a training session for a swimrun session and just fell in love with it. And after that, I talked to the coach there and I was like, oh, which races are you, what races can you do? And he was like, yeah, we have Ötula and Ångaloppet. Yeah. So do those races. Yeah.
That's nice. Too funny.
Yeah, so me and my buddy Anna, who I race with a lot, we did Uta and we got a, I don't remember if we got a director's choice spot for the first Ötula or if we qualified. I can't remember, actually.
It's a long time
But we got
ago.
A spot
it's
for...
Right. Yeah. We'll give you a pass on this one.
Yeah, so we got a spot and I've been working as a coach for... At that time, I'd been a coach myself for 7 or 8 years. So I put up our training regimen and just followed plan, I guess. And I was at parental leave with my second child at that time. So I could train a lot because he usually slept for 2 hours after lunch every day. So I could go out running almost every day.
Wow.
That's great.
That's
I mean, that's another reason why Europe gets a little thumbs up over America. Like here,
proper parental leave.
Yeah, parental leave
situation
to bond with your child.
Sure.
That sounds great.
Yeah, not like 2 weeks.
So you qualify for the World Championship, however way you got there. You do it that first year. Obviously, as a coach, super elite athlete, you are prepared for the challenge? Or was it still...
How'd the first one go?
Yeah.
How was your training plan? How effective was your own training plan?
The first one... I wouldn't say the first one was perfect because I still had a lot of like bike sessions because I still thought that I would keep on.
You had some bad habits.
Thing.
It's okay. Everyone's got them.
Yeah. I mean, it's that and heroin, I guess. No, but I think because me and Anna said like, okay, we want to do this and we want to do it multiple times. So the first year was in 2017, and a lot of our friends had done it in 2016, so they told us all the stories on how we should train and what they learned. But the first year, we said, okay, we're only going to do this for fun and get to know the course, mm-hmm. and then the next year we're going to race it. So we trained, I said, probably I swam 2 or 3 times a week, and I ran 4 sessions a week. Or 3 sessions, and I had a couple of bike sessions for the first time. You could absolutely skip the bike sessions.
Good to know.
Yeah, so skip those. But I would say if you're sore, if you're not used to running that much in the early on in the season, or swimming that much, so you should go on the row machine and start rowing instead. So, and that's a thing that I learned for the second year I did it, that to implement the concept to rower for once or twice a week. And I kept on doing that. And I write little rowing sessions into all my athletes who train for swimrun nowadays. So a great way to implement more training without hurting yourself.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. So what kind of sets are you doing? Is it like sort of more like power pulling, or is it just more endurance-y, sort of 5K rows, 10K rows? Like, what do those workouts look like?
No, I mean, the thing about training is, or what I say, all the data of training or endurance training is, if we simplify it, we say it's the 80-20 method. 80% of your training should be done in zone 2, and 20% of your training should be done in zone 4 and 5 and upwards. So the hard thing as a coach is to keep training relevant to your athletes. So you can't just say to people, oh, go out and run for an hour in zone 2, because after 2 or 3 months, people won't think it's that fun to run in for an hour in zone 2. So you have to, so I would say all my sessions are in a way or another interval session. Then the intervals can be anywhere from 1 minute to 20 minutes, but then you're doing something else just to keep it fresh and keep you keep you hyped up about your session, even though you're probably doing sessions that are 2.5 to 3 hours some days. Or, I mean, if you're training for Atelier, you have to go out and do like big days and be out for 4 or 5 hours. So on the rowing machine, I would say I do a lot by stroke count. So the first session, you kind of dial in your stroke count and your max effort on the concept two. And after that, we can adjust. So you're starting at your normal stroke count, so to say. Like if you have a stroke count of 28 to 30 strokes per minute, and then we adapt so you can go faster and faster over a set of maybe 25 to 30 minutes.
Gotcha. That's cool. And then I guess, you know, the point of doing the rower is that you get to work your back. It uses a lot of muscles that you will need, you know, in swimming, obviously, but also in sort of tautness and being aligned in the water.
Yeah. I mean, you work everything in your body except your chest muscles, but you don't really need those that much in swim run. So you work all parts of your body that you use in swim run. As you said, it's a great strength exercise. It's great for endurance. And it's also low impact. So you don't get the shin splints. You don't get the hard impact of running a lot. But at the same time, you're strengthening the muscles. So you don't get like the swimmer shoulders and all the non-impact of swimming.
I like that. And then so are you, you're a coach at TOT, coaching there. And I see they have a couple. They have a triathlon sort of coaching practice and a swim run. Do you mix your clients, I guess, or do you have, or are you specialized only in swim run, or how do you work that?
No, I have both the triathlon and swim run clients. It's TOT started as a triathlon coaching service.
Okay.
So TOT stands for, in Swedish, Tävlan Träna, to race and to train for triathlon. Because me and Joakim, we know each other from him starting a triathlon club a lot of years ago, and I was like the early adopter. Since we both are in kind of the same business and do like this big data and like the numbers of training. So after we had that club and we started TOT, and we started with triathlon because that's what we were doing.
Right.
And after that, I was on parental leave. And when I came back, I was swim coaching a lot for different clubs in Stockholm. And he called me and said, let's do swim running as well. And I jumped on it.
Yeah, awesome.
I mean, that's super interesting because, you know, there really aren't that many people who would call themselves swim run coaches, right? You obviously have Nicholas Ramirez, the official matchmaker of swim run. Some other players out there.
He's a great guy.
Coaching, right? Like Oscar does some coaching. So at some point it's almost like theoretical when you start coaching swim run, where there aren't that many coaches, there isn't that much experience sort of globally about this stuff. How do you craft sort of that training program? Because I'm sure it's not just triathlon training without the bike, right? It's a little bit more nuanced.
Yeah, it's way more nuanced than triathlon without the bike. It's, I mean, swim run has evolved to its own sport now, and you have to do things differently. But endurance training is endurance training, regardless of if you're a swim runner or a century ride biker or a ultra runner. It's about adapting over time. So most people don't go out and do like Atelier for their first race. I mean, in the beginning, that's all we had, so we had to do it like that.
Right.
But at that time, everybody was an adventure racer from the start.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the basis of endurance training is the same regardless of if you're whichever sports you're doing. So the data is there to how to build your season. But after that, I mean, it's you have to know swim run to know how to escalate your training over a period of time. And I mean, Nicholas knows how to do this. Oscar knows how to do this because we all have been in swim run. And I mean, it's a small world. Everybody talks to each other. I mean, I'm not competing with Nico. I'm not competing with Oscar. I mean, we are colleagues, I would say, because this is such a small world and there's enough swim run for all of us. So I've told people to go train with Nico as well as with Oscar and Andrea down in the south of Sweden. I mean, there's enough swim runners for all of us coaches. And then we have a little bit different systems, everybody. So you have to kind of get a feel for who you like. And I mean, it's also a sort of personal relationship with your coach.
Yeah.
Even though TOT is more of a online individualized, because we built a system to you put in all your data and then it's automated to your training program will be sent out to you automated based on your training data.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool.
I like that. That's,
I mean, I love the answer that's like, yeah, we're all colleagues, because that's such a swim run thing to say. It's like, yeah, you're competing from the start to the finish line, but every time after that, before, after, everyone's supportive and switching partners and doing all these things. It's great.
Yeah, we were just having another conversation earlier today about how great the swim run community is. And I think that's like a perfect example about it is, it could be this ultra competitive thing where don't go to this person or don't work with this person but it's not like that. Everyone sort of views it as like the tide lifts all ships sort of situation. And that's, you know, that's why we like it so much. Just everyone enjoys being out in nature and running around crazy with your swim wetsuit on.
Yeah, I think it's partly because it's a new sport. I mean, there's not that many swim runners in the world. I don't know, I have 6,000 people in my mailing list or something. So, I mean, it's not that many of the 7 billion people.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't have everybody. I mean, it could be tenfold after that. But, I mean, there's such a small community. But also, I think you really get the sense of togetherness from going to the races and going to the... Because it's kind of a subculture.
Yeah.
And I've been involved in other subcultures growing up. And you always get that sense of going around the world. If you're into something, you're really into something, you always find that other person that's into your thing. And I mean, instant buddies, like all around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, us. Like we're instant buddies. Yeah. And we just met in the DMs. It's so true, though.
We do have a lot of buddies from the DMs, I think, actually.
I mean, you have a couch to sleep on all around the world, right?
We have a lot of couches.
Funny story, like the second or third week that we started the Instagram account and the podcast, just these people that we had no idea who they were in Sweden were like, I have a cabin. If you want to come, you can stay in my cabin when you come to Sweden. I'm like, what is that? What's going on?
Great.
What do we get into here? But we should have him up about that cabin.
Yeah, we might need it in a couple months. I mean, I think that part of it's been really great. I think I hadn't thought about swim run as a subculture in that respect, but I think it's so true. It's like you find something that's really unique and you love and you fall in love with it and has this magic to it. And you just want to tell other people about it. And when you see people at races, they might be coming from different places, but they still have had the same magic. So when you get all these people together, they're just so happy to be able to, I mean, we've definitely seen that. You go to races and after the race, everyone's talking shop and breaking down their race and talking about, because they'll go back home to Kansas or wherever, and they're the only swim runner in there.
They got no one to talk to.
They got no one to talk to. And no one to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, I have thousands of swim run stories, but on that note, on the first year of the Ötula, me and Anna, like, because, I mean, we were kind of young when we started out with this, and so in those days, you took a boat from Stockholm City out to Sandhamn. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you take the boat, take a bus ride out to Djurenäset instead, and then take the boat the next day. But at that time, he took this boat out to Sandhamn to get to know all the other racers. And when we got on that boat, there were so many people like in matching team suits, and me and Anna was like coming in old Adidas pants. And we were like, oh, everybody here is a pro. We've been training for 12 to 15 hours every week, at least for 6 months. And we were like, oh man, everybody here looks like a Greek god and they're matched up. Everybody here is a pro. We're not going to make it. And then you do the race. I mean, and it's all spectacular. And 2 days later, you're on the boat back to Stockholm City. And then everybody kind of got human. And it was like, wow, they're just like us.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny. And our very first swim run ever was this really small swim run in San Diego, California. And actually, Michael Lamel came out. And there was a couple other Swedes that came out to do this race. And we're talking like, 50 people did the whole race?
It wasn't a lot.
And we were just looking at them like, Oh my word. They had the pool buoy mounted. They had paddles and everything, and people just showing up in like board shorts like they were going to go surfing or something. And then they were fully kitted out with everything.
Yeah, they won, by the way.
Yeah, they crushed it.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like I also felt that same way in Catalina, like, you know, when all the Swedes and everyone was getting off the ferry and at the race start, I'm like, they're just like, are they a different species of human or something?
Another level.
Like, they're all beautiful and tall and svelte and all this
tan
stuff. You're
somehow.
Just like, damn. It's like, what are we doing here? We're just a couple of dads. But anyway, we felt welcomed and everything, but it was just interesting for sure.
Everybody gets humbled about the experience of doing swim run. Yeah. And everybody from the top, like from Oscar, so to say, or Christine Lars and Lestina, everybody at the top level, like the fastest people in the world, down to like me, mere regular.
Yeah.
We're
regulars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody goes out on the course and experience the same course. And I mean, you can all talk to each other about it. And I mean, there's no hierarchies.
Yeah.
I'd like to say to everybody who's afraid of racing, like, oh, you guys look pro, because I know that I get that said to me as well. Like, oh, but you look the part. You look like a triathlete. I mean, you look fast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but it's just Photoshop at this point. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, speed is it's irrelevant. I mean, if you're doing the best you can do, then you have crushed that race. I mean, you have to think about your perspective of the race.
Yeah.
Are you going to Ötula to win it overall, or are you going to Ötula to win it for yourself? And I mean, I always talk about winning it for yourself. So,
yeah, I mean, that's such a great mindset. And to hear that from a coach as well, I think if you're able to kind of help your athletes have that same mindset, and that's the Zach mindset that we're trying to take into our first Ötula is like, Chris put it a great way. It's the training and the effort leading up to getting to Sweden is like we're preparing for war and battle. Like we're intense, we're going for it. But when we get there, we're at Disneyland and we're here to have fun and have a great time on the course.
That's the perfect way to describe it. I mean, coming race day, I mean, you put in all your work. The hard part of Ötula is not doing Ötula. It's coming to Ötula. It's getting there, getting a spot at the race and training for it. I mean, I guess you train for 6 or 7 months for it. So, I mean, that's the tough part. And that's the part where you really have to enjoy the process of keep on doing the grind. Because coming that first Monday in September, you're going to be nervous, of course. I mean, you're always nervous, but it's going to be a fantastic day. Because, I mean, you can't be nervous for, I don't know, how many hours you have planned to do it in, but I mean, it's going to be a full
like
work day, so you can't be nervous for all that time.
12 hours or something. That's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, and that's definitely, I mean, you know, our mission statement is to try to get people into the sport, try to make it as accessible as possible, and then share our journey and, you know, try to have as much fun in the process. So it's like, if we're going to do the original race that we're super stoked on, that's almost mythical on how much we've talked about it and seen Rasmus's videos and all that stuff. Like, it has to be fun, because if it's not fun, then why are we doing any of it? You know? Yeah. Plus, you know, we're putting ourselves out there. We're sharing our journey with people, hoping that, you know, whether that inspires someone to go sign up for their local swim run. I mean, mission accomplished every time someone tells us that, right? We hope we can keep. We're 5 months out. We hope we can keep that mindset.
Are we peaking too early?
No. I mean, there's in triathlon. There's a saying of the Christmas heroes. Like everybody starts training for a triathlon for the next summer in October, November, and they think training is so much fun. They do a lot of training in November and December. So for Christmas, they already peaked.
I like that.
And they're like, oh, I'm in the best shape of my life. And you shouldn't be in the best shape of your life. And well, it's April. You shouldn't be now. I mean, you should start building up to it from now. Now you should feel strong, but you shouldn't be as fast.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Putting the base coat down. Base, build that base up.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So let me ask you a coaching question that is totally self-serving to us, and feel free to send us a Venmo bill for your services. What would you say would like a key sort of big day workout, like a 4 or 5 hour swim run training, prepping for Otolo, like what do you think that should look like? And how far out should you be doing some of these bigger days? Like, we've heard from a lot of folks, Marika and Diane were saying, like, you got to put in some big days, 5-6 hour days out there. What's your opinion on that? And what would that look like?
Well, as many other things in coaching, I would say you have to gradually build up to it. And depending on where you live in the world, what you can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys in California can probably go out, and even if it's cold in the water, you can probably do a swimrun session, even if it's shorter swim.
We just complain
here in
more.
Sweden, here in Sweden, we still have ice on lakes, or at least at my cabin.
Yeah, it's like second
it's
winter,
still
right?
Icy. So, so what I do for my athletes now in the early on in the season, I do brick sessions like in triathlon, but without the bike. So I plan depending on how much training you do. But for the basis of you guys, I would say I do a 1 hour swim session, and directly after that, go up to the pool, get your run gear on, and go out for a 1 hour run session. And I program this every Saturday or Sunday for my athletes. Okay. So depending on how much training they are capable and willing to do, they do from an hour up to 3 hours of like these brick sessions of swimming and running, just to adapt over time to, well, running while you're wet and getting into it. And this also serves as a way to shorten the running section of your long run, because you're doing some other endurance work. And coming closer to the races, and coming at least here in Sweden, and I guess all the temperate countries, the closer you get to the race, you have to get out in nature and start doing the sessions. And if you're doing, I would say, try to do like big days that are half of the time volume you're expecting to spend on your race. So if you're expecting to do Ötelö in 10 hours, go out and do a 5 hour session. But in that 5 hours, you don't go all out. I mean, it's a super soft zone to try type of training. Mm-hmm. And you can stop and eat along the way. And I mean, you should... This is where you can really dial in your like nutrition plan and what works for you guys. So, but I mean, you're still far out from Ötelö. So you kind of have to go out on your long sessions, but they don't have to be 4 or 5 hours. Mm-hmm. As of now, 2 hours is enough. And if you want to do more training, do 2 hours again the next day. And that's the logistics of family life, I guess, stopping you. So do 2 hours on Saturday, 2 hours on Sunday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah,
that sounds good. And also, we've been doing that. So that's also a good confirmation. Yeah, so we'll take it.
Yeah, we're doing that right now.
One checkbox, one thing marked that we're doing correctly. And focusing on nutrition also is something that we're into as well. And that's what everyone we've been talking to so far this year that has done Ötelö, we're saying, what's your tips? What's your tips? And Marika and Diane gave us the tip every... like 25, 30 minutes, just you got to try to eat something. You got to keep getting fuel in that tank, or else you're not going to have any energy to get through the Orno run.
Yeah, I mean, you will run out of energy. It's inevitable in a long race like Ötelö or an Ironman.
Yeah.
Anything over a couple, on that type of like 6 hours and above, you will run out of energy eventually. So you have to push where you run out of energy as far ahead of you as possible. And I would say exactly like Diane and Marika, I mean, it's a super tip. I dialed in my clock, so it beeped every 25 minutes on both Ötelös. And on 25 minutes, I'm eating, regardless of if I've just been on an aid station and had like cinnamon buns and a couple of bananas. Mm-hmm. If it beeped on 25 minutes, I had a gel. So just to keep my mind on something. And then I put all my gels in like a soft flask and had it in my wetsuit, so I could just grab it out, take a mouthful, and swallow it down with some seawater. I mean, the seawater in the Baltic Sea on the east side of Sweden is brackish. So I mean, you can drink it because well, you feel it in your stomach, but after 10 hours of racing, you'll feel it in the stomach anyway. So, I mean, you can take a sip of seawater along the way to just rinse out your mouth. On the west side of Sweden, like Ötula, Swimrun, Gothenburg, you can't do that.
Yeah. Summer. I'm just going to err on the side of not drinking the ocean water.
I mean, I feel like I want to drink a little bit just to say that I did it. But well, maybe
we'll finish the race and then we'll go back down and then we'll just start like guzzling.
Oh, no. You're not going down Heartbreak Hill after you finish the
race. Oh, that's true.
You're staying up there.
And if my watch went off after I just left a cinnamon roll aid station, I just turn my ass right back around and get another cinnamon roll and just take it to go.
That's a good idea.
Ötula is a culinary trip. It's, yes. I mean, you eat so
There's
much
Twix
during
bars
that day.
There's Twix bars and everything.
Oh, the Twix bar is, that's fantastic. The first year was fantastic because I didn't know that you got one. So coming up from the pig swim, and it was like, hey, you want a candy bar? And I was like, oh yes. This is. Because on that year, in 2017, it was
the two-meter waves. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually on the pig swim, we met a team coming swimming the other direction.
Whoa.
So from the beginning, I was supposed to lead the swim, but after, 200 meters, it was like, because we crashed into each other all the time because of the waves, because the waves came from behind us. So we unhooked the tether and like, okay, just swim beside each other. So we started swimming, and then we saw another mixed team coming the other way, and we're like, where are you guys going? And they were like, what? Where are you guys going?
Wow.
We were like, no, we're going that way. You see the stroboscope on the other side. Come with us. And they were like, oh, okay, we're on the wrong direction.
Wow. You know, if I saw another team coming the opposite direction, I think every decision I've ever made in my life would flash in my eyes, you know,
real like, quick, where do we go wrong?
Flash from my eyes, like, are we right or are they right? Because I really need to.
It happened to us on one. It wasn't that we were in Casco Bay, which is in Portland. It's on the other coast here in the United States. But we were in the middle of the swim, and it was
a long swim,
1,400, 1,600 meters or something. And we're going, and Chris doesn't have his glasses on, and I'm leading the swim, and we're shelled, totally shelled, shoulders shot. And we're going, and he goes, he's like, hold on. He pulls on a tether, and so we stop, and he goes, there's people running up there. And we look over, and on the side of the hill, there's people just running up. And he goes, are we supposed to be running or swimming right now? I said, I think we're supposed to be swimming, so we just kept going.
And he's like, there's a flag right there. Like, I'm like, I can't see it. Are you sure? Like, I'm
like,
I'll
just follow me,
okay,
man.
Let's go.
We'll just go. I don't know what happened to those people. We should have looked that up, but
they're still on the island.
They're still there.
Yeah.
They're still trying to find their way. Man, so you did 2 years at Ötula, and then tell me a little bit about how you went from racing it to be on the commentary side, working with Ötula, doing the play-by-play announcing and the color commentary.
Well, I'm a social guy, yeah. I guess. So after, because Michael and Mats, they've always said like, oh, we're the last people to leave the bar on Uta. Uh-huh. Like, we're up, we'll drink beer till all of you guys go to sleep. And I was like, okay. Challenge accepted. Yeah. So both years I was up partying with those guys.
Nice.
I mean, doing a lot of races in this small community, you get to know everybody.
Yeah.
And so I got to know Michael a little bit because we live in Stockholm, both of us. Okay. And he lives out where we had our triathlon club. So, I mean, there's touch points. So I got to know him a little bit. And a couple of years, I think it's 1 year later, maybe, Ötula put out an ad for like, we need a digital sales rep. Mm. And I work in digital marketing. So I saw their ad, and I said, well, that's cool, but I think you need something more than this.
Yeah.
And me and my team, the webmaster I work with and Joachim, we built the new Ötula website and the content strategy and everything like that. So we started working together.
Nice.
And I have 2,000 ideas of what to do in swimrun.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've done it all. I've been working at a swimrun retailer or triathlon retailer. I've been a race director myself. I've done everything. So I kind of know the business of swimrun, mm-hmm. as well. So from time to time, I just send Michael some ideas like, hey, we should do this and we should do that. And sometimes he says yes and sometimes he says no. And after 2 years of pandemic, because I told him in 2019 that I can do the live show. We can do it, me and Joachim, because we have all the technology and we have the know-how how to put on a big production.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, let's talk about it. And then the pandemic hit and nothing happened for 2 years. So last year, we asked him, like, who's doing the show? And he was like, oh, we don't have anybody because we can't... it was still uncertain if it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we said, let us do it. I mean, we know that you don't have any money, so we can do it like... It's not pro bono. I mean, we still have to take a little charge for the technology and what it costs to put on the production. But it's basically pro bono because we know each other. So he said, let us do it. Let us try to do it. And he trusted us. And so we got to do it.
You did a great job.
Yeah, it was cool. Thanks. It was cool. I mean, it was... I tried to stay up and watch as much of it as possible. So I probably fell asleep listening to your voice a couple times on the couch. So it was very soothing.
That's cute.
Very soothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great race and it was a great broadcast. I think it was really helpful because, you know, everyone that was watching from the States, whenever an American team would go by, you'd see like when, you know, Mel Bartow and
Andy Hewitt
went by, you could see all of a sudden in the feed there was a lot of people from California, go Mel, all this stuff. And it was really cool because I mean you're doing a play by play. You have people in the different aid stations and Nemda and Run Moreau and everything.
Yeah, Nancy was at the aid station and interviewing everyone that came through there. That was really cool.
And while all that's happening, you're still like shouting out to people and making it really engaging. And sort of just it was cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was cool.
Yeah, super. But I mean the big part for me was the interaction with the community. I mean, because we had such great people out on the course. We had Nancy, we had Maria, we had Henrik, we had Jonas, we had everybody out on the race course. Mm-hmm. That's super knowledgeable and super super people. I mean, they're all fantastic. So they're the stars of the show. In my vision of it, they are the stars of the show, and I'm the moderator, and I can talk to people on Facebook, and I can like do all my statistics and the data thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
nice.
I mean, we're all good at different things. I mean, I'm super, as you might have noticed by now, 30 minutes in, I can talk for days. But I mean, it's better if other people do it as well.
Yeah.
You got to mix it in. You got to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
For sure. And is that your plan for this year as well? Did they renew your contract?
We haven't signed any contracts, but we've said that we want to do it. And I mean, it's not official, but... I hope that nobody else gives him a better offer because this is the most fun you can have not racing. I mean, I've said I'm doing another Attila when I'm turning 40, but that's a couple of years away. Okay. So up until that point, I want to be involved in the Attila Swimrun World Championships in this kind of setting.
Yeah.
And doing the media.
Was it a little tough to kind of like, did you get the FOMO? Were you missing out on, oh man, I wish I could be there in there? Or was it like, oh yeah, you know, that swim was a little bit tough. This is kind of nice behind the mic here. I like this.
No, I mean, I love racing. I mean, I do all this because of the experience I get. And I mean, this is my community. I love being out. So, I mean... We propose that next time we're going out and we're doing it on location instead of inside a city. So, I don't know. I get envious. I mean, it's super fun to talk about it and see everybody else because I've also said that I don't want to do Attila just because of doing it. I know that I can qualify. It's not that. But I don't want to take up a spot just for me to do it, you know, and do it half-heartedly. So I've said like, and I talked to Anna about it because we were supposed to do the second year together as well. And she got injured a couple of days before Attila. So, and thankfully, I knew Elin, who I raced with the second year. And I talked to her and I was like, can you do Attila? Because it's not that easy to find a partner.
Yeah. Like,
4 days out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I saw that you did an Ironman 3 weeks ago. Are you injured? Can you do it? And she was like, yeah. I'm kind of sore, but I can do it. But I don't want to compete. I want to do it for the sake of doing it. And I was like, that's perfect. The only thing I have the only thing I need to ask you is, what's your favorite champagne? And she was like, oh, it's this brand. And I was like, perfect. We're going to be great buddies. So, but after that, I thought, like, I want to do another Attila, and I want to race it the way that I know that me and Anna can race it, and do the time that I know that if we train for it, we can do this around this time. Mm-hmm. That's our time goal. And that what that leads up to, I don't know. I mean, it depends on who else has a good day, or, I mean, it's a fairly fast time. And I mean, since we've been doing this for a couple of years now, we know what we can do.
Yeah. So. It's all about who you're racing, who shows up on that day, or you're just racing yourself. I mean,
I'm racing myself because I can't control what everybody else is doing. I mean, but I mean, since living in Stockholm, I've trained with a lot of the people that I would say in my like competition little bunch, you know, we know each other and we know how fast we are. So it depends on who has a good day and not.
Yeah. So last year's race, let's talk about the mixed category. It was really bunched up. It was like really, it's a really great race in terms of just how everything finished. And you being like a racing in the mix sort of years before, can you sort of trace like just this, like it seems like the skill level at the top is getting very, very similar.
Very pointy.
You know, very pointy. Obviously, Desiree is the greatest and Victor is amazing. And they're just a great team. But there are so many people close by. Do you see that just continuing as the sport continues to develop? Like better training, better experience, people just getting faster?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's... Up to a point, everybody will get faster. But I mean, we can still see time cuts in, I think, all categories. But especially in the mixed category right now, it's really a hornet's nest in the top. And I know that more super fast people are getting into it. So they're coming from other sports. So coming from swimming, coming from ultra running, and coming from adventure racing. So I know that it's going to be even tougher the next couple of years if you want to be in the like top five, because you can't, I mean, the top five are all kind of equal, I would say, over a full day like Attila. So, but it's going to be a couple of more teams coming in, so it's going to be a real hornet's nest in a couple of years.
That's awesome. Everything's well below the 9-hour mark.
Definitely. So, no worries.
Giddy up.
So you said there's a bunch of people coming into the sport. It kind of reminds me here in the U.S. when trail running started getting really popular, all these road racers started showing up, and their first 50K, they were like, you know, national champion and things like that, because some guy who can run fives, you know, can run a 320 marathon or 220 marathon any day of the week just shows up on a trail, he'll be just fine. How do you see swim run sort of developing? Do you see kind of the same thing happening in swim run now? I mean, you just mentioned it, like in the mixed category, there's a lot of people with a lot of skills, whether from triathlon or swimming or adventure racing or whatever. Do you see more, I don't want to say like a professional class kind of being developed in swim run, but just like a bigger elite class?
Well, yes and no. I would say if I look at the sport now, I would say, because there's no money in swimrun, so we're not. It's like triathlon in Europe at least. You're not getting well paid doing it. So you still have to have the passion and the drive to do it just for the sake of doing it. I think swimrun as a sport will evolve in the next couple of years, and I think swimrun is branching out, meeting new audiences. So I think this is just me like trying to look into my magic crystal ball here, but I think in the next 2 or 3 years, we will see swimrun at the CrossFit Games. I think swimrun will evolve to being more of a sport for shorter distances. The World Championship will always be Attila Sandhamn to Utö. It's like the Ironman. It's always going to be Hawaii. If you want to do like the real deal, you go to Hawaii and do Ironman. And if you want to do the real deal swimrun, if you're into it, I mean, you want to do Sandhamn to Utö. But I think to get more people into the sport, and like, because I see the markets engaging in swimrun is mostly right now France and the US, and those markets tend to go to a bit shorter races than the original Swedish races were. So I think we're going to see more formats like time trials or chasing starts. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more formats of like the super league triathlon,
sprint,
like
the arc super sprint one. That was
yeah exactly. EX. I would see. I think because that's the way to get more people into the sport, lowering the threshold to getting into it. So I think that's in the next couple of years. I think that's the way the sport will move forward. It's just my thoughts of it. I mean, it could be that we're seeing the ultra distance keep on, but I think one thing doesn't take away from the other. But I didn't answer your question. The question of the elite sports class.
That's a good answer, regardless. We'll take it.
Better answer than my question.
But
that's for sure.
Go for it.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of like a new generation of swim runners coming into swim run. So I think the top, let's say, 30 or 40 people at the World Championship, there's still going to be the top 30 or 40 people at the World Championship, just a younger generation getting in because the older people have done the racing. I mean, when you've done that 5 or 7 or 10 times, maybe you're not that inclined to do it and try to break the record again.
Yeah,
but I mean,
yeah.
People like Desiree and Victor, who are super fast, I mean, amazing athletes, they're still young and they can still do it. And they are hungry to do it a couple of more years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I think we both agree with you. I'm going to speak for Chris here. He usually speaks for me, so now I'm switching flipping the script on him. the sort of the EX swim run, or that kind of the super sprint style, I see is kind of resembles in the States. We have these kind of real local sort of community swim runs. For example, there's Bellingham Swim Run that's in the Seattle area up in Washington State. And it's kind of just this little circuit around a lake where they're, you know, it's not the most exciting thing or point A to point B kind of thing, but it's small enough and it's interesting enough and approachable that it gets people curious about it. And they're like, oh yeah, I could go do this for 14Ks. I can totally handle something like that. And that kind of just gets them into the in the door, so to speak. And then we know all about the swim run magic, and we just let that take care of itself. That's how I feel like is happening here.
Yeah, but I mean, couldn't agree more. But because I think you need to get more people into it. I mean, it's of course I think that because swim run is kind of my thing, so yeah. I want more bodies doing it. So yeah. I mean, you should always welcome in new people because I mean we all know that swim run is the best thing ever. So you know we want everybody to experience the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. So just getting new people in, I mean, more bodies for us, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. More couches for us to sleep on in foreign countries. Yeah,
exactly,
we'll take it. So now if they just pass along their airline miles, then we could go head over there more often.
So we've had you on for a while. We really appreciate you taking the time. So one last question, which is totally self-serving for us. What would be like your pro tips for Attila? Like something that you just wish someone would have told you before you did your first one?
Don't stress about the race. I mean, you've done all the work leading up to it. So just enjoy it. I mean, everybody on the starting line is as nervous as you guys who stand there yourself. So, yeah. I mean, just try to have a good time and don't stress about doing the race because, I mean, Michael Lamel told me it wasn't for the Attila, it was for another race before Attila, but he was like, you don't have to move fast, you just have to move forward. And that's my best tip on all endurance racing and all racing done on over such a long period of time is just don't stop. I mean, if you're in transition or if you're eating, walk and eat because as long as you're moving forward, you're getting to that finish line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually my mantra.
Yeah, keep moving. Just keep moving.
Yeah, yeah. Keep going forward.
It doesn't have to go. You don't have to go fast. You just have to move forward. So that's my pro tip. And another pro tip is eat as much as possible and just enjoy the ride. I would say because of the nature of the first two islands after Sandhamn. So kind of get into your swim group because you kind of know who you swim relative, like in the same speed as. So get into a swim group that suits you so you can get a good position on the first couple of islands because you're not running on the first couple of islands. So don't get stressed by that. You're mostly hiking over the first two islands. So everybody's watching their clocks and like, oh, am I going to make the first cutoff? Am I going to make the second cutoff? Because we're not running right now, we're walking. And don't stress it. You will make the first couple of cutoffs. It's just, don't stress that you don't run. If you want to run, swim like crazy for the first swim leg, but you don't have to. And don't stress the first two cutoffs. You will make them.
Okay.
I love it.
Well,
Villa.
Amazing.
What can
time.
I say?
We could have hung out with you for hours.
Can I say thank you? You proved me right that we did meet in the DMs and it was meant to be. I'm sorry it took so long to get you on the show, but we're so glad that you came on.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking the time. When we're recording this, it's currently 6:49 in the morning or something like that. 6:47 in the morning. So thank you so much. Really appreciate you. And we'll meet you in September in person,
see you in September.
If not sooner.
Yeah, I mean, come early. I mean, I also have a cabin that you can sleep in.
Yeah, perfect. We'll have to figure out our itinerary. But yeah, we're definitely coming a little bit early. Just, you know, we got content for the show. It's going to be so much.
I have a lot of ficas to get in. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chipper's going to the FICA World Championship too.
Yeah, I mean, super stoked to be on. This was a lot of fun. I love you guys. I listen to you, to your show, and I watch all the memes. So, I mean, it's an honor for me to be on.
No, the honor is ours.
Really appreciate you saying that, man. Cool. Well, we'll see you that first Monday in September, if not a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
Cheers.
All right, man. Have a great day. Thanks so much.
Same to you.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review, since that's the best way to help other people discover the show and the sport of swim run.
Sign up for a newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at the Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any suggestions for the show or questions for us, send us a DM or an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Riding Easy Records for our show music and, of course, our wives for their support and tolerance of all our swim run activities, podcast, and other stuff.
Yeah, other stuff.
Other
way
stuff.
To, way to keep it PG. Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
Go for a run.
Then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then another run.
And then just keep going. Until you're done.
Until you're done. Or maybe can't stop.
Stop.